you know, at this level, you have everyone's very, very skilled, very high ranked, very skilled players. And then sometimes it comes down to communication, synergy, how they work with the team. Because obviously I've got four set players already who are in the team. And so I'll always even ask them, like, how did you find this player? Do you enjoy playing with them? Are they a bit, you know, are there any challenges playing with them? Because I need those four players to be just as comfortable with the new player as well.
You're listening to the Humans That Game podcast. I am madly geeked for this week, and I know I say that I'm excited every single week, so I apologize for that, but this week specifically, because we were just approved to be on iTunes, and I was waiting for that before I really, really started pushing this podcast, before I really started pushing this show and really going after just growth in general and getting the name out there. So super excited about that. And honestly, like I've talked about it in previous episodes, but I feel more alive now doing this than I have in the past year, just doing my own thing and building my company with my team. Nothing wrong with my team or my company. Like, I absolutely love what I do there, but building something like that, like, you build this community, you build this team, and once it was yours, and all of a sudden it becomes the community's, it becomes everybody else's. So just having something of my own has just helped me immensely. And I've found that I'm better in my personal life. I'm better within my company just because of this podcast. And it's been mad cool, like, just seeing things come out of the woodwork and seeing people reach out just because they see what I'm doing. And I barely started, you know, I haven't even pushed this yet. Like, people like, yo, do you want to play Apex? Like, yo, do you want to play Overwatch? What do you think of this new game? Or like, Q, I know you like gaming. What do you think of this? Or I thought of you, here's this article, you know, and just things just coming out of nowhere just because I announced, yo, I'm going to start a podcast about esports, about video games. So it's been super cool, like, just seeing that feedback and seeing all the things that are changing in my life and around me because of that. And also, I'm not just excited because we were approved on iTunes. I'm also excited about the guests this week. So Domino Jack, mad talented human being, streamer, owns an organization, has been managers for teams, caster, like, all these cool things in esports. And I'm excited because I know it's going to offer valuable insight to people that are already involved in esports or people that are not. And there's a lot of parallels just between regular sports teams. So we really dive into, like, hey, what is her experience in building an organization? What's her experience like finding talent? Like, what does that actually look like? Like, how did she get involved? Because she was a streamer, and I think she first started streaming in 2018. And then by the time the next year rolls around, she's already managing a team. And now she owns an organization. So a very, very quick turnaround for her, and just incredibly talented human being, and had a lot of insightful things to offer. So excited about this podcast, and I hope you guys take out as much as I did from the conversation. And again, we are up on iTunes, we're on Spotify, and anywhere else for the most part that you will find podcasts. So definitely check us out there. But specifically iTunes, if you all could leave a review, that would be madly appreciated, because while I want to grow as a person, and I want to learn a lot, I also want to get this out there so other people can learn a lot, so other people can grow, because I know that esports specifically, it's going to be an industry that impacts so many people, and I want to get this out there. So, and I want to get Domino Jack out there because she's a beast, but any reviews, any ratings would be madly appreciated. And of course, like, anyone that you want to see on the show, anything that you want me to talk about, let me know. I also plan on, so if everything goes right, this episode's going live on Tuesday. So interviews will typically happen on Tuesdays and then Thursdays. So hopefully this week I am going to an entrepreneur's retreat in Chicago. So I'm not entirely sure if I'll be able to do it, but hopefully this week and moving forward every Thursday. I also might change that day, but every Thursday as of now, there will also be a news segment. So just things going on specifically in the esports industry. And then I might touch on like game releases and other news in the video game space as well. But that is going on in my world. Let me know what's going on in your world. And again, if you could leave a review, it would be madly appreciated. And thank you guys so much for everything that's happened. I'm super humbled by all the feedback. And like, this is really the beginning. And I want the show to just be an experiment. I want to learn. I want to grow. I want to try new things and meet new people and help you guys grow as I grow. So if you're here, welcome to the madness. Thank you for joining this experiment, and I hope you enjoy this episode as much as I did recording it. All right, Domino, I just wanted to thank you so much for coming on the Humans at Game podcast. You just told me that you've never been on a podcast before and you're super nervous. So I'm going to leave it open. Can you intro yourself? Take it away. Let's get rid of those nerves right away.
Hey, Quentin, thanks so much for having me on the podcast. And yes, this is the first podcast I've been on. So yes, I am kind of nervous. So my name is Domino Jack, which is what I'm known in mainly the Overwatch industry in Sydney, Australia. I'm a Twitch streamer. I cast Overwatch for some community events. I help manage esports teams. And that's all I can think of. And I guess I've been on a couple of panels and things in relation to gaming and esports. But yeah, biggest thing, I guess, is a Twitch streamer.
See, you said that would be bad. That was good.
So nervous.
And just because I need to get it out of the way now, you said it's a bad story. But if you don't want to dive into it, you don't have to. But where does the name Domino Jack come from?
So I get asked this often on my stream and things like that. And I don't really have it written anywhere because I'm like, it's not a good story, as I said. But for those wondering, so when I was in high school, my real name, my real surname had the word George in it. Well, it was Georgiades is my real last name. And my eldest sister, her nickname was George. One of my high school friends therefore decided that my nickname should therefore be Jack, which I didn't ever really understood, but I was like, sure, and just rolled with it. And then one day I needed an online name for forums. And I was like, well, Jack is too short. You know, I'm never going to be able to get that. And I had recently seen something where a main character had the name Domino. And I was like, hey, that's a really badass, cool name. And I just put the two together and it stuck.
Yeah, you're right. That's not a good story.
It's not a good story. I just picked two red names. I was like, yeah, Domino Jack, let's go. And
That's awesome. That is. And I know you own your own organization now, but before we dive into all of that, can you just walk me through like how you got in esports in the first place? Because you started streaming, I believe, in 2018, and now you're already managing in 2019. That's a very fast jump. So can you just walk me through what that looked like?
Yeah, so as you mentioned, so October 2018 or end of October, beginning of November, I started getting into streaming quite heavily and really getting involved. And then when it came around to early 2019, I really wanted to start getting involved in esports as well. And so I spoke to a friend at the time who was a high rank Overwatch player and said, look, how would I get involved maybe in casting or managing or something like that? Because I really just want to be involved. I'm not a high rank player, so I knew I could never compete. So I instead decided to play to my strengths, which is obviously talking about games and also just managing. So for my real job, I do project and account coordination, and I have an advanced diploma in project management. So I was like, maybe I can use my skills of management to help other people. And he linked me to some Discords and was like, yeah, so look through here, you'll find teams that are looking for managers and things like that and just see how you go. And I happened to find one, which was the Morph Esports, which were known as Morph Black in Overwatch. They were looking for a manager and I just DM'd them and was like, hey, I'm interested. Want to give me a shot? And things sort of just rolled on from there where I managed them all the way up to July. And then in July, Warriors Esports were looking for an assistant manager. And yes, if you're wondering, that is related to the Warriors from New Zealand who own an NRL team. They they partnered with Blank Esports and therefore got the Warriors Esports. So I applied for the assistant management role with them, was successful and got it. So I moved on from Morph to Warriors, Warriors was in Australian Contenders, which is a higher level of competing level in Australia. So that was a really good jump for me. Their season ended, and when their season ended, there was nothing to do in Contenders Overwatch for a little bit. It's going to start picking up hopefully early next year. So I didn't really have a role again, which is when I decided I didn't want to go back to the org I was helping. I decided it was time to do my own thing because I'd been helping orgs and I was like, I just kind of want to do it my own way. So it did move very quickly, but I think that's because in Australia, while there is a fair amount of people volunteering and helping, how do I put it? Like, there isn't too many. So people really, you know, if they've got someone who's passionate and interested and keen, they're going to take them on board and get them to help out, because there's not a lot of money in it either down here. So if you put a lot of effort in, people are going to see it and notice it. And I had such a passion for esports, for gaming, but also management. So I really found it a good niche for me.
I love that. And I love how you mentioned how collaborative it is there, because it's definitely not like that in the city that I'm in, but maybe we'll get there. You mentioned a lot there. Yeah, I hope so.
About that. So I spoke to someone once in America about esports, and the differences I found out, like, this is very short conversation, but I found out that here in Australia, many game studios, people involved in gaming, people involved in esports, everyone really likes to help each other. Like, everyone I've spoken to in Australia has been so helpful, really enjoys having the conversations and always wants to talk about it and really build the community together. And I found out that that's not a thing over in America, perhaps.
Yeah, I think I really hope it changes. And it's definitely not always like that. Like, even just starting this podcast, like, granted, like, I did have a fairly large, like, network on, I mostly create on LinkedIn. I'm everywhere, but mostly on LinkedIn. So a very large network. So the barrier of entry maybe isn't as high for me. But still, like, I found some people to just be super protective. Like, no, like, I'm a gamer, I'm an esports, I'm not going to let you in, you know, because right. They don't want that to be tainted or whatever that reason may be. So I hope it changes. But I don't know. In Milwaukee, there's literally nothing like Jack. Wow. There's literally nothing going on in Milwaukee. You did, going back to what you said, you mentioned a lot there. And something that I want to jump in specifically, like the manager part, like for those listening that don't understand or haven't looked at any organizations or any teams, like, what is managing an esports team look like? What is a day-to-day?
Yeah, so I obviously can't talk about other games, so I will keep it focused specifically on Overwatch because that is what I manage in. So for those who aren't familiar with Overwatch, I'll just explain how it works a little bit. So at the top of Overwatch, you have the OWL, which is the Overwatch League, which is the biggest and the highest rank sort of across the world. Australia doesn't have any Overwatch League team, but it is the top of the top. Underneath the league, you have what's called contenders, and many different countries have contenders. So Australia's have a contenders scene, and that's probably the top for Australia. So last year, I think it was, I want to say 8 teams in contenders, and apologies for anyone who, if I've gotten that incorrect, because I should know that correctly, but I think it was 8. So contenders, and underneath contenders, you have what's called the contenders trials, where teams are trialing to get into contenders. And underneath that, you have what's called open division. So open division is where all teams sort of will start, and or anyone can enter that as a team, and they'll compete in open division to make it into contenders trials. So I started in the open division scene, and that's where my team is at the moment that I'm managing. And I think they have a good chance of making contenders trials this year, and that is our goal. We just don't know when contenders season will open yet. So something I do to help with management of teams is a lot of it is called scrim booking. So we'll book scrims with other teams. We sort of start to get to know all the managers as well for the teams you want to scrim. So I'll direct message a lot of them, be like, hey, we've got these times available next week. Do you? And we'll book in times with other teams so our guys can practice. They're usually 2-hour blocks. When you get to really high ranks, you might do 4 hours a day. So you'll do 2 hours with one team, take a break, 2 hours with another team. At the moment, my team, we just do 2 hours, maybe 2 to 3 times a week, just because we don't know when open division is yet. So we don't want to burn out, but we just want to keep that practice on, like, going on. So I'll book the scrims. I'll have a schedule. I'll make sure the guys know when they've got to be scrimming. If guys aren't available, I'll have to arrange subs to come in. I'm also at the moment trialing 2 players. We've had to change. We've made a change recently in the roster. So we're retrialing what's called our off tank and projectile or flex DPS role. So I'm also arranging trials at the moment. So contacting diff players that I know that are looking for teams, putting them up in trials, watching their gameplay, sitting in, I'll sit in scrims a lot of the time as well. Not every manager will. I've always sort of sat in scrims with teams, but even more so with this team because this is my own org and my own team. So I really like to sort of see how they're tracking and see how they're going. I'll also help out with VOD recording sometimes. So for those who don't know, with Overwatch, very recently they got a replay system, but you can go back and watch your own games, but you can't export that data or that video. So we have VOD recorders who will sit in scrims and literally record the entire scrim for us so we can use it for VOD reviews later and players can watch it and coaches can go back over and watch it. And sometimes we don't always have a recorder available, so I'll sit there and help record as well. I did a lot of that in the Warriors as well, helped them record. So there's a fair few things involved, but every manager and every org, I think, is a little bit different because it's really up to you as the manager how much you probably want to put in. Like some managers, all they'll do is book scrims and that's it. And that's fine for some companies and that's great. I'm probably a bit more hands-on, and I think some other managers are like me as well, where they really like to get involved. And I try to get involved just because I do love getting involved, as I said, and being a bit more there for the team. And when you're managing players as well, it also goes past sometimes just the gameplay. Like sometimes, for instance, if I tell my players, like if they're feeling really stressed, they got a lot on with the, you know, exams or work or whatever, they need to tell me to take a week off and I need to manage them not being there for a week and getting other people in and things like that.
Dude, yeah. I think you mentioned a lot of things there, specifically like just burnout and like the level of, level of commitment that it takes just to be a player. Can you talk a little bit about that and like what does their day-to-day look like?
Yeah, so a lot of the players, especially in Overwatch Australia, a lot of them aren't just playing this game. Like, yes, some players and people are starting to get paid in the industry. It's not enough probably to survive. So a lot of them are working still. A lot of them are studying still, you know, getting degrees, all of that sort of stuff. Using gaming, I guess, maybe as their plan B. A lot of them would love to make, you know, the top of the top and be earning a lot of money and playing it full time. But there's a lot of hard work that has to get there. Some of these guys will play almost 8 hours a day if you'd let them. The top guys will play 4 hours a night easily. And then on top of those, they'll be playing themselves outside of the scrims. They'll be doing their own VOD reviews, chatting to their coaches and things. And yeah, it's a lot of work. And something we do have to deal with is burnout of players. And it's very challenging when you don't physically interact with those players in real life. So a lot of the times, a lot of this stuff is online. Like I have players, you know, all around Australia. We used to have a player from New Zealand. Like we aren't all in one location. So sometimes you can't tell if players are having a bad week or if their mentality is down or if they haven't been getting enough sleep and things like that. So I've spoken to my players and said to them, I need them to sort of try think about that themselves. And if they aren't having a good week or if they haven't getting enough sleep or they're not getting enough exercise or they need a week off to study for uni, whatever it is, I need them to communicate that back to me because I can only sometimes tell. You do start to get to know players more and more. Like I had a player once, I was specking him in a scrim and he wasn't playing very well and something wasn't right. And after the scrim, I said to him, are you okay? And he's like, no, I'm feeling pretty sick. And I'm like, why did you play? And he goes, I didn't want to not play tonight. And he goes, and if I knew, if I told you I was sick, he's like, you'd tell me to sit out. And I was like, you're right. You should have sat out. I said, you're taking the next 2 nights off to get better. He's like, okay. Like, so you do start to sometimes tell the players, the more you get to know them, you can start to see patterns. But I have told my players that they need to a certain point, keep themselves accountable to know their limits. You need to start to realize things like that. And it does get harder. Like we've got players from the age of 16 up to about 22, 23. I think the oldest might actually be 21. So they do range as well. So when you are working with younger players as well, you've got to be really mindful of them. Like for instance, times that they have to finish playing, like if players, you know, if they're 16, 17, you know, they've got to go make sure they get some sleep, be up for school the next day. We don't want them playing to some ridiculous hour in the night. Their parents wouldn't be happy with that either. We're not happy with that. So you've got to be really mindful of the different ages as well.
I love that. I want to dive more into like how you have gone about starting your own organization. But before that, you mentioned something there. Again, just going back to burnout. You tweeted a while, actually not a while ago, I think it was today or this week or something. You said, sorry, community, no stream tonight. While I'm on annual leave, I was going to try to do a lot of streaming, but I realized I actually needed to stop. I mean, I love that self-awareness there. Can you talk to me about your, like how you take care of yourself? Because I know a lot of like creative entrepreneurs, we suck at it. I fucking suck at it.
Yeah.
But like you, how do you know when to just unplug?
Totally. Yes. And I am a victim of that. Like I tell my own players and I tell other people, you know, you got to stop, you got to take breaks and all that sort of things. But then I don't do it myself. It's one of those do what I say and not what I do concepts. So no, I took some time off work because I first off did realize a friend of mine made me realize that maybe I was a bit burnt out, and he was like, you should take a week off work. And he's like, and don't go anywhere, because every time I take time off work, I go to an esports event or something gaming related, like the last time I went to PAX. So it's like I'm always doing something. And he's like, just take a week off and just zone out and just stream and do your own thing. And I was like, that's a fantastic idea. I'm going to do that. And so I spoke to my company and was like, can I please have a week off? And they're like, yeah, that's fine. So I did that. And I was like, yeah, I'm going to do all this streaming because Death Stranding just came out, and I'm going to play heaps of that and all of this sort of stuff. And then on the weekend over my annual leave, I happened to see my family, and I was talking to my dad about my job and things I was doing. And my mom just looked at me and goes, you sound really stressed. And I just stopped and I was like, I am. Wow. I am really, really burnt out and stressed. And mom's like, maybe you should just actually take some time off. And I was like, you know what? That's probably a great idea. And so I was like, okay, I need to actually take a couple of days off and not game and just chill out. And I kind of forced myself to do that. And it's going to sound really funny, but the way I made myself do that easier was I invited my boyfriend to spend a couple of days with me, which meant I was spending time with him and therefore wouldn't be just going to my computer. I was like, come spend a couple of days with me and we'll have lunch and just hang out and do things together. And he was like, sure. And that actually really helped because it meant I had another person sort of keeping me accountable there and making sure I did just actually relax. Like we watched a bunch of anime and went for a walk and, you know, all those really nice things where you actually just experience the rest of the world. And yeah, it did. It kept me accountable. Which is
I'm
really
glad
good.
It helped. If he's listening, I hope he doesn't feel like a distraction, but I'm glad it helped.
Oh, he's going to hear about this. Don't worry.
Total side tangent, but what do you think of Death Stranding?
Oh my God, it's amazing. Okay, so I am loving this game. I'm only 12 hours in, so I've looked it up, and apparently there's like 40 to 50 hours worth of gameplay just on the main quest. Apparently you can get up to like 100 hours if you're sort of a completionist and want to get everything. I'm not that person. I'm like, let's just do the main quest. I want to know what this story is about, but I am loving it. But I've always loved these sort of games that are a bit cryptic, a bit weird. They don't, you know, you don't really know what's going on. They don't really tell you a lot. Like I loved, you know, Dark Souls 3 and Bloodborne, which, you know, are From Software, and they're the most sort of some of the most cryptic games out there. Yes, there's a lot of walking in the game. Like a lot of people are calling it a walking simulator and things like that. But a lot of that walking I'm finding very calming between the very extreme and intense sort of cutscenes of the game. Like there's so much intense stuff and I'm not minding the walking. And the further you get in the game, sometimes the less walking you have to do, because eventually you do unlock fast travel. So that's the thing that you unlock. And then you eventually unlock bikes and you can ride around and stuff as well. And people start building roads. And so it actually becomes a lot faster to travel. But yeah, no, I'm loving it. It's fantastic.
No, that's good. I'll definitely have to check it out. It's on my list. I know one of my co-founders' wife is just obsessed with it right now. And we were playing Apex the other day, me and him. And he was on, I had my headset on. You could just hear her screaming in the background. Like, oh my God. So it sounds good. So I definitely need to check that out. But I do want to go back to the organization stampede. But before that, what games are you playing right now?
So at the moment, I play Overwatch, Rainbow Six, Teamfight Tactics, and Death Stranding. So with my Twitch schedule, I do specifically play certain games on certain nights. So Mondays is Teamfight Tactics nights, Wednesdays, so tonight is Wednesday for me, we'll be playing some Rainbow Six, and Friday nights is Overwatch. But in between that, I'll play then whatever else I want if I'm going to stream. And at the moment, that's a lot of Death Stranding.
Take me back to like the beginning, let's say 2018, when you just hopped on Twitch. I'm not sure if you streamed elsewhere before. why did you decide to start streaming?
So funny enough, I did stream a little bit before October 2018. I did it sporadically a couple of months here and then, so that's why I just don't really count it because I never really got into it. I got into it October 2018 after I went to PAX in Melbourne. I went for one day and I had some conversations with some people and someone spoke to me about streaming again and I was like, yeah, you know what? I should really get back into it. I was sort of in a point of my life where I was kind of like, I want to do something that I really enjoy because I kind of was like, I don't know, I guess maybe trying to figure out what I wanted to do with my life a little bit still. And I sort of had this realization that I love games. I love video games so much that in Australia, it's really, really hard to get into the video games industry. There's not many opportunities. And when there is an opportunity, hundreds of people, you know, go for it. And people who get the job stay in those jobs for years because it's fantastic. You know, it's what they want to do. And so I was like, all right, I want to be involved somehow on whatever level that is. And I'm just going to do it myself and try to make it work. So I was like, the first thing I knew was just start streaming because I was like, I love games. And a lot of people are like, oh, games are a waste of time. And you're just wasting your time playing games. And I was like, well, if I can turn it into something more than just I'm playing games, so I'm streaming it, I can potentially earn money, I can get other people involved, then it's not a waste of my time. And people won't see it like that. And I won't see it like that. I'll see it as a pursuing of a career or something that I love. And so no matter what, I wanted to in some way be involved in the video game industry. What that was going to look like and how that was going to turn out, I had no idea. I just wanted to be a part of it.
I love, love, love that you mentioned just the passion. I think a lot of people get stuck in like, yo, like I've got this thing that I'm passionate about, but like, what's the plan? Like, what's next? Like, where are we going? Like, who do I have to meet? Oh my God, all this work's going to have to go into it. And it's the same thing for me with this podcast. Like it took me a while to start it. But when I was finally like, when I finally decided to start it, it's like, okay, damn, like I got this. And now like my company has a meeting with a big esports organization that I'm not going to mention unless we close the deal, but a meeting with a big organization because of like, just stuff that we're doing, you know, and like these weird connections, like just because we followed our passions, you know, and a lot of us like have all these weird, unique passions. Like one of my other co-founders is huge in the fashion industry. Another one, video games like myself, you know, but this podcast is just, yo, I want to meet people. I want to talk about video games. I want to play video games. Fly me out for free, you know, just things like that. So I love that you mentioned that passion.
Yeah, it's totally the case. Like people say, if you love doing something, just start doing it. So, and you'll be amazed the people you meet on the way. And that's exactly what kind of happened for me. Like, yes, I did try and reach out to some very specific people on purpose, but the further you go and keep working at it, the more that people will start to reach out to you and want to work with you and talk to you. And things sort of then just roll on from there. But while networking is important, you'll be amazed the stuff that will come to you if you are very passionate about it.
1,000%, a mix of both, dude. Like the law of attraction only works if you do. That's one of my favorite quotes. But sweet, going back to the organization that you're doing now, 52 Faces, 52F, correct?
Correct.
I didn't butcher that. No. Talk to me about the barrier of entry. Like what goes into like starting an organization?
Funny story. So there's two reasons I started the org. The first reason was, as mentioned, I was working for the Warriors Esports. Season ended and they didn't require, like I didn't need to help them with anything. So I was like, well, I'm going to do my own thing. The other reason I started doing my own thing was I'm friends with a player who he is a pretty good player. And he messaged me one day and was like, hey, I was thinking about maybe starting to play competitively. And I was like, oh yeah, what for like Overwatch? And he's like, nah, for Apex. And I was like, okay, cool. I was like, send me through, you know, some of your stats and information about you as a player. And I'll try contact some organizations and stuff and talk to them. And he's like, okay, cool. And he sent me through his information. And he's like in top 10 of Australia in Apex.
Damn.
He was like sixth or something. And I was like, oh, you're high enough that you should actually join an official org and probably get paid. So I was like, okay, let me see what I can do. And I reached out to a bunch of orgs and unfortunately just no one was looking for another player at the time. And so I said to him, I said, how about I do it? He's like, what? I'm like, I will manage an org for you and a team and we'll get you a team together and you can go play Apex. And he was like, seriously? And I was like, yeah. I'm like, I'm doing Overwatch as well at the same time because I want to do that too. And he's like, sure. So I was like, let's do that. Mm. And because I knew a lot of people already in the Overwatch scene, for me to announce that I was doing my own org, you know, a lot of people knew who I was now. I'd been managing, I'd been casting, I went and worked with the Warriors. So when I came back into Open Division, said, I'm going to start my own thing. I had a lot of people contacting me going, we want a trial for you, because they knew who I was and they knew that I could manage an org well. I even had one entire team, which funny enough is the team I've got now, who contacted me and said, we want you to pick up our entire team. Reason being for that, though, was I did try poach one of their players because I wanted him on my team again, because I used to have him on my team. And I was like, come join me again. And he was like, how about you take our entire team? And I was like, oh, that's an option. Okay. And that Apex player, I still have him on the team. There just isn't much with Apex at the moment in Australia. So unfortunately, we haven't gotten him into anything. We're just keeping our eyes open for that.
Yeah.
That's probably a little bit harder, is trying to get anywhere with the Apex side of things. I just, because I'm not in that scene as much, so it requires a bit more work trying to find the right Discords, find the right people, and finding out when the tournaments are on. So that one's a little bit harder, but Overwatch wasn't too challenging. The difficult thing that I'm getting to, and the barriers I'm going to come up to, is when you get to a certain point where money's going to start getting involved. So players mm-hmm. want to get paid. Players are going to get good enough that they make lands and things like that. And that's when it starts to get a bit more challenging, because then you need things like sponsorship, you need funding, you need a way to keep the org growing and alive. So at the moment, no one in my org is paid. Everyone's volunteer. I'm volunteer. We all just do it because we love it. The only person we ever played was, we had a coach from Mind Freak on loan to us. So he was from Contenders, amazing coach. And, you know, he was the only one we ever paid. And that was the only person that sort of did get that. And that's because of where he came from. But no one else at the moment, everyone's volunteer. But, you know, I'd love to get to a point where our org is big enough that we have funding coming through. We can pay players to play and coaches to coach and managers to manage. And we can be going to events and things like that.
Yeah, I dig that. You mentioned just the coach and let's say the manager and the person that's recording the gameplay and practices. Like, what other roles go into, let's just say, your organization?
Yeah,
besides
so,
the players.
Yeah, so we had two coaches at one point. Now we've just got one because the Mind Freak coach has gone back to Mind Freak, which we knew that was going to happen at some point. You've got the players for Overwatch. You have a VOD recorder. We got a graphic designer to do our designs and stuff for us, for each of the team members. So they had Twitter banners, and for us, for the org, we just paid for that. Like, I just paid for that myself, though, from Twitch payouts and things, just to make sure the org all have that. But yeah, orgs can be quite, like, at the moment we're quite small. Like, we do just have the people who specifically, I guess, are working just with that team. But we have a Discord, you know, which has the team and everyone in it. And for instance, in the Discord, apparently, according to Discord, we have 78 people in the Discord, which means we've got a lot of other players and people in there. So when I need subs, I just tag in there that I need a sub, and someone will be like, I'll sub for you. But yeah, the team itself, you've got 6 players, a coach, me, the manager, VOD recorder. So there's about 9 of us in the Overwatch section.
That's awesome. I know you mentioned that you're trying to do some stuff with Apex. I love Apex. For those that are listening, they all know that. But also Overwatch, let's talk about why Overwatch, or was it just because, hey, like, I'm going to push you over here, you're going to be involved with this, this is what we're playing. Why Overwatch?
I love that game. That's
it's so good. I'm obsessed with it for a long time.
It's the game that I first started streaming. And the way I first started streaming, it was on a PS4 with the PS4 camera. And that was my first ever. Like, if you go back and watch my original streams, like, you can't find them anymore, thank God, but they might be on a server somewhere. They're potato. Like, it's me on a desk chair in my bedroom on the PlayStation 4 with a PlayStation 4 camera going, yeah, let's play some Overwatch. And that's how I started. And it, like, nice. That was it. So for anyone who wants to get into streaming, seriously, you don't need the best setup in the world. I didn't. Like, I've got a fantastic setup now because I've worked for it. But yeah, when I started, I was like, cool, let's just play games. Yeah, I just love Overwatch. And I can't wait for Overwatch 2. Obviously, we don't know much about it. But it's just been a game that, yeah, I don't know, just so much I love about it. And I was just like, this is the game that I want to keep working with.
Yeah, talk to me about Overwatch 2. What do you think that's going to look like in terms of esports?
That is a great question. I've been wondering that myself as well, because we don't have an actual release date for Overwatch 2. And I'm curious to find out if when Overwatch 2 comes out, does it take over Overwatch 1, for instance, for the Overwatch League and contenders? Do people start playing Overwatch 2 now, or will there be two separate leagues? Like, my thinking is it will take over it, but not as in it's an entirely new game, as in it's kind of an extension of what it was, is my thinking. I'm very excited for when it comes out. Like, I have already sort of reached out to Blizzard and been like, so when Overwatch 2 becomes available for people to like try it out, I volunteer to help because I so want to be a part of that. I'm very, very curious to see how that'll change the esports in the scene for Overwatch.
Yeah, same. I was obsessed with Overwatch right before I started my company. I literally had to sell my PlayStation, sell the game, sell everything so I wouldn't play, so I could just build my company. Thankfully, I've got all that.
That is one way.
Yeah, I had to focus. You had the boyfriend. I had to sell it. You know. But I like that. I like that a lot. And I love that you just love the game. And I'm excited to see what they do with Overwatch 2. I think they're like implementing a PvE element or something like that. I haven't looked too much into it.
Yeah, I'm trying to avoid a lot of rumors and things like that as well, and sort of just waiting for official announcements. Just because I don't like all the conspiracies and the rumors and the concepts, I'm like, you know, I'm just going to wait for them to say, hey, this is what we're doing. I'll be like, okay, great. That's actual information. Let's roll with it.
Who do you main on Overwatch?
I'm a Reaper main. I don't know if you know who that is. So it's a hitscan DPS player. I am trying to branch out a little bit into some of the other hitscan DPS, but I've been playing Reaper for ages. I was also playing Reaper when he wasn't considered meta. So people would be like, get off Reaper. He's not viable. You shouldn't play him. And I'd just be like, nah, I'm just sticking and playing with him. Funny thing, he's now viable and a lot of people are playing him in the meta. And so now it's like, oh, cool, you play Reaper. And it's like, yeah, I've been hard forcing Reaper for months. But sure, let's go.
I dig it. Talk to me about the talent side of things, because I love that you said, hey, they're not all local. Like, some of these people we've never met. Some people are all like, it just, here's my face or here's my voice, you know, so you don't really know what's going on. But how are you finding the talent specifically?
A lot of it's through Discord communities. So there are certain communities out there that a lot of the high ranked players are in, which makes it actually very hard for people who want to get into Overwatch competitively. So when I, like, for instance, there was a Facebook group once that I did sort of put something in there about Overwatch or teams or something like this. It's been a while, I can't remember. And someone did reach out to me and said, hey, I kind of want to play in a team. I'm only, I think they're like plat or diamond rank. And they're like, how would I even go about it? And I was like, oh, what's your Discord? You know, and I'll send you some links. And so then it's very much word of mouth, like people telling other people, oh, you want to get involved? This is how you do it. And so in those communities, we will put up what's called an LFM, which is looking for member, and we'll put what we're looking for. And then players out there will put up what's called an LFT, which is looking for team. So I'll go through the LFTs that I can find when I'm looking for someone specifically, and players will go through LFMs, and then we'll just DM each other and be like, hey, are you interested in trialing and things like that? I'm in a spot though with my team, because we're high rank in the open division, so which means we're at the top end of that, and then just above us is contenders. So there's a lot of players who are very good who can make contenders, and then there's our guys, and then there's just below that. And so we're in a position where a lot of the players who I would pick for my team also could make contenders. So they want to play with a contenders team. And I totally get that. It just makes it a little bit challenging for recruitment for me sometimes. So I will only sometimes have maybe two max or maybe three max guys that I, or girls that I'm actually trialing for my team. So at the moment we're trialing for off tank and I've only got two players to pick from. Thankfully they're both actually very good players. So it's now just about which one, you know, is going to be the best player for the team. And sometimes it comes down to that. Like, we've, you know, at this level, you have, everyone's very, very skilled, very high ranked, very skilled players. And then sometimes it comes down to communication, synergy, how they work with the team. Because obviously I've got four set players already who are in the team. And so I'll always even ask them, like, how did you find this player? Do you enjoy playing with them? Are they a bit, you know, are there any challenges playing with them? Because I need those four players to be just as comfortable with the new player as well, for him, that person to come on board in the team.
I love that you mentioned that. My next question was actually, like, how important is it in terms of team chemistry versus just raw talent, raw skill?
Yeah, like obviously you want really good players. You want players that are mechanically good, who can think about their players and understand the game really well. But you can have sometimes the most technically skilled player who's not a team player. And then that doesn't really help you. Like you can also sometimes see when players haven't played in teams before. So someone we are trialing at the moment, they were very honest and was like, I've never played in teams before, but I really want to start. And we were like, okay, that's fine. So we've like kept that in the back of my mind, but you can tell they haven't played in a team environment before. Not that they're a bad player. They're just not used to some of the things teams will do. And that's just a learning curve. And like, we're happy to give them that experience and to see where they go with it, because they could become a very good team player. And so it is really important. Like if you have players who don't get along, it affects the mentality of the team and they need to work together. Overwatch is a six-man team. You need to work as a six-man unit. If you have someone who's not contributing to the team, it's not going to help.
I love that. Just like any sports, just like any team, just like any company. I dig that. I only have a few more questions for you. This one might be a little off the walls, but whatever, you know, I'm weird. So I've just heard a lot of people say that owning an esports organization is bad business. What are your thoughts on that?
That's a hard one, because I'm not sure, like overseas, esports seems to be doing very well, like in America and things like that. In Australia, it is challenging. That comes down to, I don't know if that's specific to esports though, because in Australia, we are a much smaller country. We have a lot less population, which means I think almost anything in Australia is more difficult because we just don't have the numbers here. I agree. I think it's a difficult, challenging thing to go about. And I would never, like for me, for instance, I'm doing it on the side of my real job. This isn't what I do full time. I'm doing it as a hobby, a passion, as in a love. And, you know, hey, if one day it became a full time actual thing that I could do, then amazing. But I don't know, unless you have a lot of money, I wouldn't be giving everything else up to create an esports team, because at the moment they can be very expensive and the payouts aren't as high. I think a lot of things in esports these days is about the long term. It's about the long run here. So while there's a lot of money and a lot of people investing at the moment, they're not looking, they know, well, maybe not everyone knows, but I don't think a lot of people are looking to get early quick returns. I think they realize this is a long term thing, that we have to get to somewhere else and that we hopefully will get there one day. I think, as I said, I think America's moving a bit faster than us. But as I said, that's understandable. We don't have the numbers. So, you know, America holds an esports event. They get thousands, maybe, I don't know, they get so many people go to these events. And obviously in Australia, that's a much more smaller scale of it.
Yeah, I love what you mentioned about the long term. Totally agree. 1000% I agree. And I hope we do get there, just as a world, as a whole, because my 10-year-old self would be very excited to live in that world. And lastly, like what should people pay attention to? Like, what are you excited about? Like, where can people learn more? Yeah, take it away.
Learn more, as in learn more about esports, or pay attention
about
to
you?
Like? Oh, about me. Oh, right. Yeah. Oh, this is the part where I plug myself. Got it. if you'd like I do have a website, so it's dominojack.com. So if you go to dominojack.com, you'll find links to all my socials. You'll have an about me section. If I've got any events coming up, I'll put them in there. I have nothing for the rest of this year, but I'll have some stuff hopefully for 2020. I have a Twitter, a Facebook, and an Instagram. My Twitter is domino_jack. My Instagram is dominojack1, because someone out there has dominojack. I'll get it one day. And Facebook, if you just look up Domino Jack, you should be able to find it. I also have obviously a Twitch. So Twitch is twitch.tv/domino_jack. Oh, sorry, twitch.tv/, there's like a // thing, domino_jack. But yeah, the best thing is just to go to the website, dominojack.com, because it has links to everything there.
Awesome. I will put all of that info in the show notes. Hopefully I won't butcher it. It's a /, but just wanted to thank you so much. for coming on the show. I really love this conversation.
Thank you so much for having me. It's been a pleasure to be on here, and I think my nerves have gone away now by the end of it.
Good, good. That was cool. Glad to hear it.